This is GKW. Welcome to another edition of Good Karma Wrestling. I'm Gabe Neitzel from ESPN Milwaukee, along with Jonathan Hood from ESPN in Chicago. You can, of course, always check him out on Sundays as well. He's part of SiriusXM Pro Wrestling Nation every Sunday from 9 a.m. until noon Eastern. A lot of things to dive into this week, Jay Hood. But let's go ahead and start with John Cena. He's going to be making his final appearance this upcoming Monday in his hometown of Boston. And that is also when the John Cena tournament is going to begin to determine who his final opponent is going to be in Washington, D.C. in December at Saturday night's main event. So it's a simple exercise to start the show today. Fantasy book John Cena's final match tournament. We already know two matches. Those were announced on Raw. Damian Priest is taking on Rusev. Sheamus is taking on Shinsuke Nakamura.
Okay, so I will add some names to the tournament. And I like how this is being unfurled. It's not like you're throwing the whole bracket up there so you can figure out who's going to win the championship. This is not the NCAA tournament. I think just dribs and drabs, give us a little bit to give us an idea of what this is going to be, is a good idea by WWE.
I feel and I believe they announced that two more matches are going to be announced on SmackDown tomorrow night.
That's
so we're gonna we'll know half the bracket by the time we get to the weekend and what that presents. But I mean, it still comes down to, like, I guess the way that they had presented it with, oh, even maybe a couple of people who don't work here. Like, I feel that is put on there to make people think that, oh, maybe AEW will let Edge come wrestle. That's not happening. Like, I think of, when I think of people who don't work here, I think of people like Matt Cardona, right? Like, I could see someone like Matt Cardona becoming a part of this bracket to participate and fulfill that, hey, he doesn't work here, kind of moniker that goes there. Like, I can't imagine that there's anybody on the AEW roster that Tony Khan and Triple H strike a deal so he can show up, you know, and like, if Edge showed up, what's the trade-off? Hey, stop booking your pay-per-views opposite of us. Like, yeah, so I have to move my pay-per-views to the middle. That's the only way. Something like that. That's the only way they would get Edge in this tournament. So for all the internet wrestling fans who are like, oh, this means Edge is going to be Edge is not going to be in this tournament.
Well, if Dixie Carter was part of this, she would have traded for a Christian. She would have done that. That would have been Christian to be a part of this thing, because usually he's always part of the trade. So I'm just going through some names here that I think is going to be part of this tournament as we fantasy book those. So I think that one of those outsiders, I mean, a number one seed for an outsider is Joe Hendry. And
yes,
I'm not.
Hendry's another one.
And can I just tell you, I don't want to see Joe Hendry against John Cena in the finals. I don't want that. Everybody to be there, all the dignitaries to see Joe Hendry pound his foot into the mat and then clap and pound his foot in the mat. I'm not interested in that. For him to be in the tournament, yes. In the finals, that's not what you have John Cena's ending be. I don't think that that's good. So I wrote his name down. I wrote down a favorite in Gunther, mm-hmm. who I think is going to be there. I wrote down The Miz, who I think should be in the tournament. You said Sheamus is part of it.
Yep.
You Solo Sikoa should be part of this.
Oh, sure. I like Solo.
I wrote down
Braun Breaker.
He's here. He's right here. I have his name. I got Solo Sikoa's name. Dirty Dom. You said Nakamura is already in.
Yep. He is the one facing Sheamus.
Does Randy Orton have an opportunity? What's he doing lately?
just kind of hanging out on SmackDown. Just along for the ride. I don't think he does. Like, the people he's already faced, like AJ Styles. I don't think AJ Styles isn't going to be in the tournament.
Right.
Obviously, Punk is probably not going to be in the tournament. You know, like, the guys he's already faced, I don't think are going to be on this list. Because they already did the, for the final time, Cena versus Orton. For the final time, Cena versus Punk. For the final time, Cena versus AJ Styles. So, like, mm-hmm. the guys he's already checked off that list, I don't think are going to be a part of the tournament. But that's, I mean, I guess they could throw a curveball and, you know, maybe Randy Orton is in there. But I keep thinking of, okay, what's the best way to do this? And obviously Gunther is the heavily rumored, you know, guy that could potentially be the one that goes over and ends John Cena's career. But I also think someone like Bron Breakker, like, this is a good thing to me for Bron, who's obviously going to be chasing the World Heavyweight Championship. But if you put Braun in this bracket, he ends up chasing John Cena now for the next 6 weeks to kind of preoccupy him and keep him away from that World Heavyweight Championship pick.
Yeah, if they're ready to go with Braun, and it sounds like they are, then he would be the next guy. And I think that Cena would put him over. This cannot be a fan. This is not a Fandango Jericho situation. Okay, you can't just say we're going to go with this guy, or, like, you know, bum Corbin ending Kurt Angle's career. No, this has to be something that's significant, where you feel strongly about this guy being able to be the next guy. He's being crowned almost like the uncrowned world champion at this point. So, I mean, for me, and I guess, did we finish all the names? Like, is Finn Balor part of this? You said Rusev's part of this?
Rusev and Damian Priest, Sheamus, Shinsuke are the two matches that are announced.
Yeah, for John Cena, it's got to be someone that's a genuine article. And I just, you could put Gunther in that spot because Gunther's already retired Goldberg. Imagine to retire Cena too. Not now, you're a tippy top guy. Now, they already believe in him. But if Bron Breakker's the guy, give him that opportunity.
That's what I'm thinking. Because, again, for me, Gunther makes sense. And you can build Gunther into something bigger than he already is. I wonder if he needs that, right? Kind of like when Brock Lesnar went over The Undertaker. Yeah, it took Brock to another level, but I think you probably could have gotten to that level with Brock just being Brock. I don't know if he necessarily needed to end the streak. If that would have been bigger for somebody else. Like, if Bray Wyatt would have ended the Undertaker streak as kind of a ceremonious passing of the torch, like, that could have been maybe a little bit more interesting in raising Bray Wyatt at the time. So that's why I think, like, Gunther, does he need it? No. Could it be cool? Absolutely. Do I think it'd be a fun match? Yes. Bron Breakker, I think that, again, it's something to elevate him and further announce that this is the next guy before on his route to winning his first world championship. You can check Cena off on that. Are we missing more NXT guys? Like, does Ricky Saints get involved in here? We're going to be talking with Ethan Page here in a moment. Does Ethan Page get involved? Like, I feel mixing in a couple of guys from down in NXT, Obafemi, I know, is somebody we've talked about being relatively high on from NXT, hoping that he makes it to the main roster here eventually. Like, I feel there are a number of names in NXT that could end up in the bracket just to also raise their general awareness before they come up to the main roster.
I was looking at TNA. So is Joe Hendry the only guy, or does Ricky Santana get an opportunity?
I mean, I wouldn't mind him in the bracket. Like, you could put him in the bracket. Like, I'm fine with that. I don't think he's ultimate. Like, they're not going to have somebody from TNA go over John Cena in his final match.
Like, no, I'm just looking just looking to fill out the bottom of the bracket. That's all.
Yeah, but I think that's what you. When I initially heard the idea for the bracket, I think it came out, on Monday? Before they, like, when I first heard the idea, I'm like, I don't know if I like this. But the more I thought about it, the more I did like it, because it gives you the opportunity to raise the profile of a number of these different guys, whether it's TNA, whether it's NXT, whether it is, you know, even a guy like Shinsuke, you know, just kind of re-raising that, oh yeah, that's right, Shinsuke Nakamura can go because he's been gone for so long and out with injury. I think it gives you the opportunity to kind of raise awareness level and showcase some of these guys, especially at the NXT level. Hey, this guy's good. He's going to be coming up here soon, but look at what he did in this tournament. Kind of like when they flash back all the time from, like, all the participants from the Mae Young Classic when they did that for on the women's side. Like, oh, hey, here's when we first heard about this superstar who is now with us in a world champion. She was in the Mae Young Classic. I think this is something that they could use similarly if they use the right NXT talent.
Yeah, I think so. Just to have them in the mix and profile them. This would be great. I'm sure Cena looks at this and says, "No, I'm going to have my final. I'm going to take on somebody." But to be in those kind of high profile matches and stakes are on the line to be able to take on one of WWE's all-time greats, I think that that's really cool. I know that I'm here to tell you that Vince McMahon would have never gone with this. He hated tournaments. And I don't mind tournaments. Hell, we're sports guys. We've seen tournaments all the time to determine. So it doesn't affect us one way or the other. But Vince would have just built up whoever the opponent is, whether it's Gunther or Braun Breaker, and then the anticipation for it. But you know what this is. Gabe, they're trying to fill out programming here, trying to raise the interest. I mean, this is, so, you know, for a lot of people, this is kind of a dead period leading into the Survivor Series. And then December is completely dead. But this is an opportunity to just build up two shows on their way to what I think is just an historic pay-per-view or PLE to see John Cena's last match. So I get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Plus, next week for Raw, Triple H already knows he's got Priest versus Rusev. He's got Sheamus versus Shinsuke. He's got a John Cena promo segment. He's got half the show booked already.
Sure. It's all good. It's all good. So I get it. But Vince would have gotten built it up.
Who do you want it to be?
So to me, it's between Gunther and Braun Breaker. I like if they feel strongly about Braun Breaker, imagine he being the guy that retires John Cena, because Breaker's going over, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Whoever the opponent is going over Cena, right? Are we sure?
I think Cena's going to go out on his back, yes.
Okay, because Sting didn't do that.
No, but Sting also wanted to go out on his back and just was basically told, no, we're doing this night to celebrate you. We can have a tag team tournament championship afterwards. You and you're going out as a champion here.
Yeah, Bryan Danielson didn't mind that. He didn't mind having a bag put over his head, suffocating him to death, and then losing. It's
probably his idea.
Johnson. Yes, yes. And I'll come back and do commentary for the guy who almost killed me. Good.
Yeah.
Good. That's wrestling.
Makes so much sense. Yeah. I would throw a dark horse in there that I'm coming around on more and more would be Dom. If Dom goes over, I think that could do really good things for him as he continues his climb. But I fully admit that would be like an audible, because I feel very confident in saying that when Triple H decided he was going to go with a tournament to determine the final, like, at no point did he think, oh, and then I'm going to have Dom win the tournament.
Right.
Like, when this idea was hatched, Dom was not the winner, but I think Dom could be the winner, and I think that could be interesting.
As we get ready for our interview and our topics of the day, I just want to say that it's almost an unfair fight for Rey Mysterio. For Dom Mysterio to take the mic in Albuquerque, New Mexico, okay, and getting babyface cheers in New Mexico because of a hot Spanish audience, Latino audience that was there, and then here comes Ray actually looking like the heavy, like here comes the dad, the parental dad that's like telling him where to go. It's like, this is bad for Ray, but it kind of evened out at some point, but it was going to be like 90% Dom, and who cares what the old man says. But eventually evened out. But I guess that just goes to show you where Dom is on a pecking order. That guy's so over, even though he's a heel. It doesn't matter.
He's over, man. He is so over. Like, again, the line of, hey, keep my father's name out of your mouth, after Ray had said Eddie Guerrero's name, was that got the crowd really going.
It's crazy, man.
Crowd really going. We got more things we need to dive into. We start with our three count, the other top three stories in the world of professional wrestling. Where we start, we had an opportunity earlier today to catch up with a double champion in the WWE, in All Ego, Ethan Page. Excited to bring in our next guest here on GKW because, well, he's not just one champion. He is a double champion right now. He is the NXT North American champion, is also part of the AAA World Mixed Tag Team Champions with a friend of our show, by the way.
Yes.
He is Ethan Page. Ethan, thank you so much for the time. Thanks for jumping on, man.
Hola, mis amigos.
That's so very good, Ethan. Very good. Gracias.
Well, we were just talking about this right before we hit record. So you're not used to carrying around two championships yet. You're still trying to figure out the best way to do it.
Yeah, and you know what? With a smile on my face, I'm having a really tough time. I can't really figure out how to properly display these beautiful, beautiful championships. But if I'm doing a good job, let me know. If I'm doing a bad job, you know, just remind me to hold it up or awkwardly do something. But yeah.
How stressful is it for you to be a Canadian hero and WWE's best champion?
Ooh, so not to get too in the weeds, but I had made a comment to someone this Tuesday that I'm starting to feel the pressures of always hitting a home run. And it's, I was like, you know, life is easier when you suck, because there's just an expectation that no matter what you do, it will never be good enough. So I am on the other side of that, where there's an expectation that everything I do is magnificent. So yeah, life's pretty tough for me right now.
it's not easy being on the top. NXT, by the way, coming to Hood's neck of the woods in Chicago, November 15th. Head over to Ticketmaster to get your tickets for Aragon Ballroom.
You know, that's actually my neck of the woods. You know, you guys know that, right?
What, just as the North American champion?
Well, hey, that was very good. I would have gotten. But no, Chicago is definitely like a second, third, or fourth home for me. It depends on who I'm talking to and how many tickets I'm trying to sell. But I would say Chicago is 100% a place that I have like carved a very, very, very important part of my career. So I will technically be returning to a place that made me who I am, which is pretty fun. There's definitely going to be a lot of fans, and they like to call themselves egomaniacs, in the attendance for this one.
Well, you mentioned that. So why is Chicago? Because we give Hood a hard time all the time. He calls Chicago an A-town, but it is. I mean, wrestling always goes there. The crowds are hot. What makes Chicago a really good city for you guys to go tour? Because this isn't a TV. This is NXT Live. What makes it a good place to go visit?
Well, I mean, just Chicago's a wrestling town in general. I've had so many big moments in my career, whether it was independents or with other companies, pay-per-views, televisions, different venues across the whole city. Even places that say they're Chicago and they're not actually Chicago proper. It's just easier to say Chicago. I've wrestled there too. So I would say for me, this is like a bit of a homecoming for people that saw me wrestle in like the ballrooms or the banquet halls or the Knights of Columbuses or the VFW halls or legitimately the bars with people just standing around the ring.
Yes.
So there are fans of independent promotions that saw me kind of claw my way. And now I get to return to Chicago holding these two beautiful championships with two very historic logos on there, the WWE logo and the Triple A logo. So it's very cool.
That's very good, Ethan, on the A. Very good.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to show my respect to the promotion that I now carry.
See, just a point of fact, I've been asking for you to be on the show for over a year now, and I get eye rolls in the meeting. So it is a pleasure to have you on the show, because I've always wanted All Ego on the program.
I would assume the eye rolls are because you guys know how hard it would be to get me to sit down to talk to you.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that's it. Yes. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Oh,
definitely impossible, but we'll try.
Well, where do you place this run with NXT and WWE versus others in your career? It feels different, doesn't it?
Number one. You know what? I'm not even going to compare my own career. I'm going to compare it to everybody else. It's number one. There's nobody better than me in the entirety of the WWE right now. And I don't want people to look at the show that I'm on as a deterring factor of that. I would like to put my title run up against any champion in the whole company, whether it's Raw, SmackDown, whatever you believe to be happening with AAA or TNA or Evolve or LFG. There is nobody better under contract with WWE than Ethan Page right now, bar none.
As someone with NXT, because NXT can be this kind of melting pot of people breaking in, people like you who have been veterans and have wrestled all over the world. How much do the younger talent at NXT lean on you as a veteran in the industry for advice and trying to help out?
I would say as much as I let them, because at the end of the day, we're all competing against each other too. And I don't really care if any of them succeed. I just want myself to do well. And I'm definitely the best guy here. So if you're going to ask anyone for advice, I would definitely look in the direction of the guy holding two championships.
What's Chelsea Green like?
Great. What do you mean? What's Chelsea?
Hey, she's a friend of the program. She has been on GKW on a number of different occasions. We were heartbroken when her U.S. championship reign came to a close.
Yes.
Close. She's about to fight for the champ. When's this going to air? Let me know your business. How does your business operate?
This will be airing later today. This evening.
Yes. Okay, so listen, tomorrow everyone needs to tune into SmackDown because Chelsea will be challenging for the United States Championship. And if I was a betting man, I would say that I will no longer be the only two-time champion amongst the self-proclaimed Canadian standard of excellence, the two of us. So I think she's going to be walking out with two belts Friday too. That's my hope, at least.
So you're saying it's great to work with her?
Well, that's the first thing I said is, what do you mean? She's fantastic.
Yeah, that didn't answer the question, Ethan.
Great. I said she's great. Well, how descriptive do you need me to be?
Well, preferably as descriptive as possible, but, you know.
That would help, yes.
We'll leave it up to you.
Because we're trying to get airtime here, but, I mean, she's fantastic. And I just said she's going to become champion this Friday. How much better can you be than champion? I don't know if you guys picked up on the theme or not.
We're familiar with the product, sir. Yes. Thank you.
We're looking for gold here, guys, and I'm holding a lot, and I'm hoping she will too.
Okay.
So how did the partnership with Chelsea Green come about?
I'm pretty sure that she's just doing everything in her power to get me to the main roster along her side. Every interview that she's ever done, she has openly stated that she's doing everything in her power to have me move up along her side. I honestly have no clue. I welcome it. I think we have very good chemistry. Both of us are very, very colorful performers. And also very dangerous in the ring and have a dark side. And I'm hoping that the longer she hangs out with me, the worse she starts behaving and the darker things can get for Chelsea Green. But yeah, if she takes my advice, at least she'll be probably breaking jaws by the end of the year.
As an egomaniac, I have a suggestion, if I may, sir.
Yeah.
And that is, I would love for you to be able to be in contention and actually be there in the ring against John Cena for his final match. How's that sound?
I mean, it sounds great. You got to get me in that tournament first, and then I got to continue to do what I have been doing, which is beating every single wrestler put in front of me, no matter what locker room they come from. So, I mean, I would definitely would love the opportunity.
Well, you now have, as we've talked about, the two championships, two different promotions.
Sure.
What else other than, you know, continuing to dominate? Like, what are there people you want to face for either one of those championships? Are there other championships you want to collect that you have your eye on?
Yeah, so the whole start of all this was essentially Chelsea kind of whispering that I've done enough to add prestige to the North American title. And then, I mean, I realized after we had won these championships that I think she was maybe selfishly suggesting that we try to get other gold. But now here we sit, the AAA mixed tag team champions, and I'm not really upset with her suggestion. So I got two belts. But the issue that I have is when we went to go win these titles, I was under the impression that we would be appearing on AAA as like, I know I'm going to try and have a little humility when I say this. Ironically, my name is All Ego, but I thought we were just showing up as like some special guest superstars from WWE. And the reaction that Chelsea got there would confirm that I was booed out of the building, but still a big star coming from WWE.
So reaction.
I just assumed that we were coming in, you know, I don't want to say doing the favor, but you know, here we have some big stars coming in. We win some championships. It's very good for their company. It's very good for us. Amicable business decision. But the issue that I have is that when I was celebrating, and I please recommend everyone going back to their YouTube at AAA on their YouTube and watching the match where we won the championships, the company itself did not send the North American title to the ring for me to celebrate. So there was a bit of commotion backstage, and I felt slightly disrespected at the fact that I am there representing another brand, another company, and they did not bring my championship to celebrate in the ring, the company that I am there to represent. So later in the event, you had Wagner, someone who I've already defeated very easily in my own promotion, celebrating his victory. And in that moment, I thought, man, AAA invites me out here just to spit in my face, essentially. And then we got this guy out here hiding behind a mask, celebrating with his people. And I saw him hold up the Latin American Championship. And I had learned some Spanish at the time, thanks to WWE. They're paying for my classes right now. So I just decided that I was going to become the Latin American champion. And I wanted to go out there, jump Mr. Wagner in front of his people, his fans, I assume his family. He's third generation. It's a nepotism thing. But they call it tradition in Mexico. So I wanted to go out there, jump him, beat his ass, and then proclaim myself to become the next. And you're, as I said to the Mexican people in Mexico, I said, you're Latino American champion. So, yes, I do have my eyes on other gold. And my plan is to become a triple champion. So the Latin American title is on the horizon for Ethan Page. December 20th in Guadalajara.
So you've pretty much just summed up, you are disrespected by just the person that brings the belts and the person that takes your robe. So there was no five spot for that guy, right? No extra little tip for him. That's what you just told us.
Well, to me, there is no, the way you're describing the person that grabs things and brings them to the back was like, you were like, you know, it was just the guy that does this. I'm under the impression that if you work for a company, you represent their brand. Whether you're the guy that sweeps the dirt off the ground or you are the CEO of the company, you represent that brand. So I don't really care if it was just the guy that got the stuff from the ring to bring it to the back. That was a AAA employee. So in fact, AAA spit in Ethan Page's face.
I see.
So I wanted to do the same to their top talent that I already know I can beat. So I'm putting myself in a very winnable situation. So now I would like to disrespect the company that I hold this title. So, yeah, that's kind of my goal.
Okay.
Putting that championship aside with the
– Right, I should. Saying,
well, you don't have to, but I'm just saying – putting that aside, because you are obviously a champion now internationally with the mixed tag championship. Huh? How have you enjoyed kind of being able to wrestle in all these different places because of the partnerships that WWE has? You mentioned with Impact, now obviously with Triple A, with all these different brands that you now can go represent. Whereas I don't know, 5-6 years ago, you'd have been working for just one company, one brand, and that's it.
I mean, it's very interesting, but no matter the logo, money is either green or it's not. So, like, I don't really care. I think the fans care more than me. Where do I have to go? Who do I have to fight? Is this another opportunity to win gold? Will this progress my career? Will this get new eyes? Not to go back to AAA, but I noticed such an influx of fans joining the movement of Ethan Page, all because this is technically a new territory. These are new fans, new people that have not experienced the greatness of the greatest North American alive. So I'm all for it. Send me back to TNA. I wrestled for the TNA world title on pay-per-view. You want me to go back to Evolve? I'll go back to Evolve. I truly don't care. I've said it in every company that I've been in, truthfully, that if this is the flag I need to wave, I will wave it better than everyone else in this company. And I have been doing that, and I'll continue to do that. So wherever the WWE wants to send me, under whatever umbrella company or whatever ass they want me to kick, I will go do that. No problem.
Ethan, lastly, and we appreciate your time, I just want to ask you about stylistically, in the past, there have been wrestlers that want to wrestle a Japanese style because they're in Japan, a Mexican style because they're in Mexico. You are you wherever you go. What's that like for you to be able to take on, you know, these luchadors that have their style and you do what you do?
Well, I have an identity. So you just described a bunch of wrestlers who don't know who they are, don't know what they're doing, and have no backbone and will bend to whoever and whatever and wherever. I won't. I never will. And I will always be unapologetically me. And I'll just continue to do that.
Ethan, appreciate the time. Enjoy your second, third homecoming, whatever it happens to be that day in Chicago. NXT Chicago, November 15th. Number four?
That's my fourth home, Chicago.
Okay. I would say.
Yeah.
Okay, well, there you go. Enjoy that homecoming coming up on November 15th. Look forward to seeing you on all the different brands you're ultimately going to represent with the championships you continue to collect.
Yeah, and guys, honestly, I know this was specifically to promote this live event coming up in Chicago, and I would like to, you know what, it's very funny. I wanted to thank Good Karma Wrestling, but I feel like Karma will take care of you because you're helping us spread the word about wrestling coming to your town. As the champion of all of North America, like you stated earlier, Chicago fitting in that, I want to personally thank you on behalf of the WWE and this entire continent.
Thank you, Ethan Page. We appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate you.
There you have it. Ethan Page, the North American champion, joining us here on GKW. They're going to be in my neck of the woods, too, the Friday before. So go check that out as well. They're going to be up at the Rec Center in Green Bay the night before they're in Chicago. So if you're in Wisconsin, you want to check out NXT on November 14th. Again, WWE.com, Ticketmaster.com, wherever you get your tickets.
A couple things. One, it's good for the NXT wrestlers, especially that young locker room, to have house shows. I mean, even the main roster guys and men and women don't get house shows. So it's good for the young talent to be able to see different cities, know what's going to be like traveling and all that. So it's great that they're going to be in our neck of the woods in the Midwest to be able to show what they can do. I was already there for AEW in that same building where they're going to wrestle. It's going to be about 1,000 people, maybe 1,200. It's going to be loud. They're right on top of you. So that's going to be a great experience. The other thing is too, Gabe, is it's interesting. You know, Chelsea Green is so similar to Ethan Page in that they don't care where it is. They just want to be able to do what they do, right? That's what I got out of the interview is like, yeah, I'm North American champion and I'm at AAA and I'm having fun wrestling, but they could send me wherever. I'm just having fun. It's not even about the championships. It's just about having TV time and having fun. And that should be the attitude.
Well, and that's, again, what Chelsea Green has told us time and time again when she's joined us here on GKW. And again, if you've missed any of our interviews with Chelsea Green, again, check out the YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling. But we move on, Jay Hood, to number two this week in our three counts. We go over to AEW, where next Wednesday night, Dynamite, it is going to be blood and guts. But this year, we're going to have a women's match as well. So on the men's side, we have Darby Allin, Roderick Strong, and the Conglomeration, featuring Mark Briscoe, Orange Cassidy, and Kyle O'Reilly, taking on the Death Riders team of Mox, Claudio, Wheeler Yuta, Daniel Garcia, and Pac. And then on the women's side, it is Jamie Hayter, Willow Nightingale, Harley Cameron, Timeless Toni Storm, Mina Shirakawa, and Chris Statlander, going up against the Triangle of Madness, Megan Bain, Marina Shafir, and Mercedes Moné. Which blood and guts match are you most looking forward to and more interested in next Wednesday night on TBS?
You know what, Gabe Neitzel? It's actually the women. Mm-hmm. There's one side of it that I take completely seriously, and that is Julia Hart, Sky Blue, Tekla, Megan Bain, Maria Shafir, and Mercedes Moné. On the other side, Are we sure that Harley Cameron, is she there for the entertainment or is she going to turn up? Because it's a cage. It's blood and guts. Is she going to bring the puppet out? Is that part of it? And if she does, that's fine. But I always think that the steel cage match, or in this case, the blood and guts, that has to be the blow off of all of this. All the feuds should be all blown up. And I just think that out of all the stuff that AEW does, this has to be the most serious. And I think that group I just mentioned of women is the best group that's going to be in this blood and guts. Think about it. Tekla is a monster. Sky Blue loves this. She says she wants to be. She wants to be cut up and she wants to be bleeding. She told us that on the show. So Julia Hart, just love her as a performer. Megan Bain, Marina Shafir, who is the realness, and Mercedes Moné. To me, that's more interesting to me. I feel like we are going kind of in a circle when it comes to the men in some ways. Conglomeration, it seems like we've been there before, haven't we?
Yeah, it kind of does. I mean, the Death Riders make sense because they're a full team, and this is what you end up having to do when you have these matches. WWE's in the middle of doing it for their War Games match at the end of the month as part of Survivor Series, where you just kind of cobbled together oh, the babyface team versus the heel team. And it would appear that the Vision plus Logan Paul plus whatever else they happen to recruit is going to be a part of that over on the WWE side. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is. I'm really curious if we get another side of Harley Cameron. Now, she got the win last night as part of the tag tournament that's going on with her and Willow Nightingale. She got to pull off her finishing move, which is called her finishing move. Yes. And I don't know if you caught that. That was a callback. I'm not even sure the last time she did her finishing move on television, but that was a callback to when she had just developed the move. She was on commentary and with Shivani did the bit of, I got to name it. I got to come up with a name. And he goes, a name for your finishing maneuver? Yes, that's it. That's what you're going to say when I do this move. And Shivani snuck it in last night, which gave me a But so on the men's side of this, we've already seen Orange Cassidy, who has more of a comedic gimmick.
Well, yes.
A little bit last night. So we know that Orange Cassidy, when it's called on, can be a little bit more serious. And he can, you know, go through the blood and guts and even turned up the heat right away last night in his in the advantage match for Blood and Guts against Claudio, where Claudio's not even in the ring and he's getting hit with a suicide dive.
Yeah.
So the question for Harley is, as talented as she is, and I have loved so many of the things that she's done. All right, like you said, this is the literal name of the match is Blood and Guts. Can't get any more serious than this. Does she have that next gear that she can shift into? Like, we know Willow can. Like, again, Willow is smiley, bubbly person, but we've seen her get personal and get angry with feuds. So that's if they unlock a new level with her, I think this match can be really, really good. If not, she could end up being a distraction in the match.
And also, just seeing Marina Shafir in that environment, she's not helping the men. She's as tough as the men in the Death Riders. But now she's part of this. I'm like, yep, she can really be able to do some damage here. For someone who I thought was pedestrian at best as a performer, now I think that she's like one of the more important people in the Death Riders group. So I look forward to her being in this environment.
Yeah, I think it's got a really good chance. Again, I've never been a big fan of how these typically come together, and I've been anti, just like Hell in a Cell. Like Hell in a Cell doesn't need a pay-per-view. War Games, Blood and Guts, they don't need to be an annual thing. I think they are fantastic when you build it to the right spot, and I'm glad that they're doing the first ever women's one in AEW this year. But again, you're just kind of hodgepodging a number of them together for a babyface team versus a heel team. And so the buildup never really does that much for me, but the matches typically always deliver. And that's what I'm looking forward to seeing again, because you have literally the best in-ring talents in AEW basically going in this match. Like, what in-ring talents are they missing in this match on the women's side?
No, I think that's it. I mean, Chris Statlander is not part of this. She's not out of it in this at all, right?
Correct. Which I don't have a problem with, because the champ should probably be worried about champ things.
Right. No, absolutely.
Stat is in it. Yes. Cause Stat is in it. Yes. Chris Statlander is on the babyface side, cause Mercedes Moné is also a part of it.
Okay. Got it. Okay. So yeah, I've got no problem with the women that they have in this. I just want it to be, I think it could be really, really entertaining. And maybe brutal. You know, the one thing AEW doesn't mind is blood, even for women. So let's just see what this looks like, right?
One of the most iconic shots in AEW history is, and she's getting shouted out for the second straight week on the show, Dr. Britt Baker in the Crimson Mask.
Yeah.
From her match, you know, that she had against Thunder Rosa.
Too bad that Amanada is not part of this, so she can get her revenge on Tech Love, because this is Chicken versus Peter Griffin on AEW for a while here. So I was hoping that Amanada would get her comeuppance, and not, clearly not the case. So
yeah, because of the injury. Got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's where I look at Mina. I do have one nitpick, and I think we talk about this every time Blood and Guts comes up. You know, Gabe, it's going to be commercial interruption.
And that's, again, that is the problem, especially with a match like this. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
A match that you know is going to be, it's like holding a Royal Rumble on television. Like, what do you mean I'm looking at this entrance in a picture in picture? Like, what are we doing here? Right. So It doesn't make a ton of sense to me. I don't know why. Again, I don't think they need to do this each and every year. I think if you built it and tacked it on to one of their handful of different pay-per-views every once in a while, it would still have a thing. But they want to do Blood and Guts on Dynamite every year, and it doesn't make sense. Like, if you're going to do it every year, throw it as part of Full Gear. Like, Full Gear's – I just do it so I don't have to deal with the commercial interruption, because it ultimately makes the match not – feel as important as it ultimately is.
Hangman Page has a world title match on this show as well.
I don't think it's for the championship. I think it's just a Falls Count Anywhere match.
So is that for the title?
It's not for the title. Because we already know that he's going to be wrestling for the title at Full Gear against... Well, do I want to call... Is Joe Power Hobbs his boss? Compatriot? Oh,
I don't know. I'm not sure about that. I just think that that's interesting, because Hobbs deserves the world title match. So this is going to be just maybe they'll be in the middle of all of this, like the women match and then the other Blood and Guts match.
Yeah. I think that's the way you have to do it. Either whatever one you start with, then you have this just to kind of calm everything down, and then you close with a Blood, which I believe they've already scheduled a half hour overrun.
Of course.
For next week.
This company, TV. Man. This company. I swear to God. Just like, you know what? We'll put it this way. I guess it's better on television than if it was a pay-per-view. If it was a pay-per-view, this is 4 hours. Right? They would have just added more matches and more. And just like, you know what? Screw it.
Yeah. That's true. Right. Like, Tony Khan could never do, like, because again, the Royal Rumble at this point, is you have the men's and women's, and then you have a match or two that go in between.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's just, okay, we've got a match or two just to kind of separate the two, and there's no way that AEW could ever do anything like that.
So to your point, I think that you are correct that the way WWE /NXT has done it in the past is when there's a battle and it's bubbling and you're tired of, you know, being the general manager and the security breaking this up, it's Regal coming out there screaming War Games into a microphone. Mm-hmm. Then, boom, it's not scheduled. It just happens. Like, you know what? F this, War Games. And that used to get a big pop. Now, this is something where Blood and Guts is coming. Now we got to be able to put everything together and make all this work to be able to have an event. War Games is kind of spur of the moment.
Well, but it's the same thing in WWE now, that they've turned Survivor Series into War Games.
Yeah. Yeah, they have.
You know, it's, which I guess is fine, because they're going to do Survivor Series. Like, it very rarely does it make sense. I think of when it was like WWE versus the Authority. Yeah. You know, when Dolph Ziggler was the sole survivor for the babyface side, like, that actually felt like it had stakes more often than not. And then for a while, obviously, they did Raw versus SmackDown. AEW is not split up like that. But very rarely, when they've done these team matches that requires 4, 5, 6 people, there's going to be a little bit of kind of you're forcing the hand a little bit, because it's a part of the schedule. I wish it wasn't that way. It just happens to be that way.
Speaking of WWE. What is next, sir?
Number 3. You can tell that this was not written by me. It was not a question that was submitted by Jay Hood. No, this was a question that, even though Brian Rowitz is not here, he is still producing the show. Don't get anything wrong. He is still producing the show. So our final question on the 3 counts was Jay Uso's main event run a failure? Which I take umbrage with this question in a number of different ways. The way the question is phrased implies that Jey Uso's main event run is done and over with, because he lost a championship match. Like, if Jey Uso within the next 12 months is world heavyweight champion again, is that going to shock you? It would not shock me. So the premise of the question implying that Jey Uso's main event run is over is incorrect. And I don't think it was a failure. I think the match ended up not being as good as we wanted it to be as part of Saturday Night's main events. But also, like, Jay's going to be a part of the main event of the next PLE. Like, he's going to be in War Games. Like, the main event run for Jey Uso is not over. Do I wish it was better? Yes. I don't know if I would go as far to say it was a failure for Jay or WWE.
I don't understand Brian's hang-up on Jey Uso. I just don't understand it. Look, there is, you can make the case that the entrance is awesome. Slapping hands with the fans and the kids is awesome. The merch sales, awesome, because he's a popular guy. And then the damn bell has to ring. I understand that maybe you don't think that he's a five-star match guy. That's fine. I thought his match against CM Punk was good. I thought his matches against Gunther were good. Not maybe not great, but the point is, though, he's never been like a year-to-year-out singles wrestler. He's got to get comfortable in that. I thought it was a shoot at times when he did the mic work talking about confidence and could I be the guy? Fans love him, but did he love himself to be able to feel like he could be over? It's hard. You are a tag team wrestler, and all of a sudden, all right, Shawn Michaels, now you're a singles guy. All right, Kofi Kingston, now you're a singles guy. Like, it can't be easy. And so for Jay, Gabe, he's just kind of like, okay, well, this is it. And so for him to say it's failed, he's already trying to shut the door on it. They believe in Jay still. They do. His lot in life is not to be with Jimmy for more tag team championships. They're going to go with Jay again at some point. If nothing else, if not for the title, still be a popular figure in the company.
Yeah, I mean, and our, like, his promo style is just different, but the fans still connect to it.
Yes.
You know, he's not going to go out there and give you a 10-minute promo or however long Punk went on Monday Night Raw, right? When Punk opened the show, like, that's not Jay's style, but he's still going to come out there, fire up the crowd, and get his point across in his way. You did mention Kofi Kingston, so this is where I'm going to just, like, throw this in there. I sent this to you guys earlier today. Yes. Somebody had tweeted a handful of days ago that Jade Cargill has become the first person from Jamaican descent to hold the world championship in WWE, because Jade obviously won at Saturday Night's Main Events.
Yes.
And Kofi responded on social media saying, well, technically, never mind. Congratulations, Jade.
That's true.
Which is just well done by Kofi. Well done.
As Triple H asked Kofi, hey, what happened to your accent?
Just, Kofi was just a running joke that completely refuses to die, and I love it. I just
Triple H cornered him. That's how you wasn't supposed to do that. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
I feel like Brian's not alone in some of his frustration, I guess, for lack of a better word, with Jey Uso. Is it because him and Jimmy were such a good tag team and they put on such good tag team matches that we thought that as singles wrestlers, even both of them, because I remember being excited for Jimmy versus Jey at WrestleMania and the match was fine. Yes. But it didn't live up to the expectation that you had for it, right? Like, you thought, yes, this thing could steal the show. This is going to be a classic. We're going to be talking about this for years. And it was fine. Like, I mean, I don't think that anybody could say it was bad, but it just didn't live up to the expectation. So as part of it, because him and Jimmy were so good as a tag team, we just expected that same greatness to be able to translate to singles wrestling. Is that part of some of the disappointment? Again, for lack of a better term, for Jey Uso?
I guess, well, from the back, I mean, it's not even about the fans. You know, the fans are behind him. That's the fans, yeah, 100% are behind him. They would love for him to be world champion right now, or the man in WWE right now. It's just that Gunther's booked stronger, Cody's booked stronger, CM Punk is booked stronger, and Jey still has time to grow. Why I always put it this way. Why put a championship on someone only to lose in a couple weeks,
yep,
or a month or so? I'm like, if you're going to go with him, go with him. And by the way, there's no metrics that you can measure, Gabe, in which you say, well, you know, we took this whole Jey Uso World Championship thing on the road and didn't draw. That's what you used to say back in the day. Just like, well, the house shows look like a little light. Mm. Now, not a lot of people are really into it, or they're not as loud at the house show as they are on TV. Maybe we should take the title off of them. There's no, that's not that now. That's the back. That's not the fans. Fans want him, but the back said, let's just see the run. And the run's fine. It wasn't great. It was just fine. But you have to give an opportunity for a Jey Uso to run with the ball. They didn't do that enough. They gave him the ball and was like, all right, back to Gunther. Their choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm really curious to see, again, how and where Jey Uso goes from here. Other things we got to dive into this week. It is time for news and notes. Where we begin, we've talked about it a little bit. Our girl, Chelsea Green, reportedly signing a 5-year contract extension earlier this year with WWE. So she is expected to stay with the company through at least 2030.
A great asset, not just because she's got cake on her face and she says she hasn't been creamed like that in a long time, as you saw that, which is an awesome line.
What a promo. that actually might make Toni Storm blush. You know, like that's a promo that might even make Toni Storm blush.
I just think that she's great. And I think she's great for the young locker room as well. Because I think that she's willing to give. And she doesn't mind losing. And she's one of those, just like Ethan Page, just pin me, pay me. I don't care. I just want to be on TV and do things that are fun. And you got to appreciate that too, man, because there's so many egomaniacs, man, that want to be the top woman, the top guy. She's not like that. She just loves being out there, being able to do some fun things in WWE that's entertaining and, you know, win some matches along the way.
We also learned last night that on AEW, we're getting yet another championship on AEW television, a national championship that is going to be crowned a first champion at Full Gear as part of a Casino Gauntlet match, which we know is going to feature a couple of members of the Hurt Syndicate along with Ricochet. But that first champion is going to be crowned in a couple of weeks at Full Gear.
See this right here? If you're watching on YouTube, you see this, Gabe, you know what this is. Mm-hmm. The old Xfinity remote control. This thing almost hit the door over here when I saw that come up on Wednesday. I'm like, why? Why? You don't have enough championships that matter. So just add an old NWA title of the national championship. There's no reason for that. None. I understand this is high school at AEW and WWE, by the way, where everyone has to have a trophy. Participation trophy. Here's your championship. Everyone's a champion. Well, if you have too many champions, that means that your titles are meaningless. Some say it's a prop. I won't even go that far, even though we kind of know it is. But as far as we're in it, in the universe of watching wrestling and enjoying wrestling, point is, though, is that everybody can't be a champion. Why try to make everybody a champion? And by the way, there's already a national champion. The NWA has a national champion. So why are you doing pulling something up from the 60s, 70s, 80s of the NWA and say, oh, AEW should have a national champion? It makes no sense at all. None.
Especially then when you factor in you have ROH champions that are walking around adding even more championships to AEW television. And oh, by the way, the NWJP, the New Japan Pro Wrestling and IWGP Championship is also featured heavily on your show because Konosuke Takeshita has that championship, and it's not the only New Japan Pro Wrestling title that's been featured on AEW television. So, like you said, everybody's a champion. Like, we're at the point where if you want to add a new championship, you have to subtract two. If you're, because some people have when they're, you know, whatever the thing they collect, oh, if I'm adding one, I got to take one away. No, if you add another one, Tony Khan, you got to take two away. And what I'm hoping ultimately happens here is that the unified championship where they had combined all those things, just that goes back to being a part of the Continental Classic. You get the championship belt for winning the Continental Classic, just like you get a championship belt if you win the Owen Hart tournament. And it's not like a championship that's defended. Just, oh, hey, you won our version of this. Here's your championship. That's what you get. But not something that's actually defended on television. That's what I'm hoping happens to the Unified Championship if you're introducing this, because none of it makes sense.
I don't get it. Just if you have more champions than serious challengers, then what does that say for your company?
Yeah, it's just way too many championships. You got to start trimming some of that fat. Meanwhile, I don't know if you saw this WWE former WWE star at this point, Ridge Holland, venting on social media. Because he said he was totally bleeped thanks to WWE's decision not to renew his contract while he's out injured now. He was still under contract with WWE, so they're still paying for the medical things that had happened to him. But apparently, according to Fightful Select, WWE has decided to terminate him early for cause due to breach of contract. So not great for Ridge Holland after venting on social media about his current situation with his current employer, even though his contract wasn't being renewed. Well, now his contract was fully cut off. He's not making anything while he's still injured and won't be able to wrestle and make money for 6 or 7 months.
Good job, Ridge. He's reportedly has 5 kids. Good. So great job there. Thoughts and prayers, Ridge Holland. Great job.
And then finally, Bleacher Report named their top AEW and WWE stars in their 20s.
Okay.
So do you care to venture who is on top of the lists?
Is Dom Mysterio on that list?
He is, and now, of course.
I'm sure he is on that list for sure, because Dom is a double champion in Triple A, or Triple A, as Ethan Page told us. And of course, the Intercontinental Champion.
So
Tiffany Stratton's got to be on that list.
The top 10. Number 10 is Tiffany Stratton. Number 9 is Jack Perry. Number 8, Roxanne Perez. Number 7, Jordan Grace. Number 6, Obafemi. Number 5, Bron Breakker. Number 4, MJF. Number 3, Kyle Fletcher. Number 2, the dirty one, Dominic Mysterio. And the number 1 wrestler in their 20s is Rhea Ripley.
Okay. How old is Toni Storm?
Toni, I think, she might be 30 on the number at this point.
On the number? Okay. Just wondering.
Is 30. She is 30. She turned 30 on October 19th. So had this list been done a month ago, she would have qualified.
Yeah, and I know Mercedes is going to be north of 30 as well, so I get that. There's a lot of names that you could have put on there, but I don't have a beef. I think that that's perfect. And it also showcases Gabe Neitzel that the business is in a great spot for the future.
Vikingo is number 11. Just some honorable mentions. Blake Monroe is 13. Daniel Garcia, Wheeler Yuta featured on this list as well. Austin Theory also making the list.
Omission. No. How about that?
All right.
So that's all I mean. Yeah.
It is time. What were your matches of the week?
Star Night's main event was, first of all, it surprised me because I would have taken the under of 2 championships won on Star Night's main event. So we got 2 with Punk winning the title with no chicanery, no outside interference, just straight up. Actually, Triple H wasn't even there, which is interesting. He was not there in Salt Lake.
Two champion. Think about that. And I didn't have time this week, but I wanted to go back because I'm very curious the last time both men's championships, top championships, were being defended on the same card on the same night. Like, obviously, they've been defended at WrestleMania, SummerSlam, but typically they're split up. Like, I'm not sure the last time those two titles were defended on the same night and Triple H wasn't there.
Yeah, that's just very strange. And I don't recall both championships at the same night being defended. Usually those 2 separate nights for those kind of things, right?
Yeah, they'll split them up, yeah.
Or different shows.
Because in the Triple H era, you only have like 5 matches per card, and you're only going to have one of those titles defended at any given time.
I could have put Cody and McIntyre in this list, but I think it's clear that McIntyre is Wheeler Yuta at this point. So like, we'll never believe in him again. Like, that's what it is. You will never believe in him again.
And
never
the chicanery again. On the finish just kind of, again, good match, and then the ending's just kind of, oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, but that's it, though, Gabe. Like, there's no more lower third on our show. Could McIntyre? No, that's not happening again on this show because they have him at a certain level. It's just like, you're a good contender, but you're Dolph Ziggler. So that's what you are. It's all good. Now that I know.
A sense of irony, seeing as how when he came back to the main roster, it was with Dolph Ziggler.
Dolph Ziggler. A match I know that you did not see, but I saw it was Bandido against Dorado at the end of Collision on Saturday. Okay. It ended up being, by the way, the match of the week on my Busted Open show. I'm like, the last match of the night, that's the best match. It was voted by our producers. Dragunov against Nathan Frazier was a surprising banger on SmackDown. Holy bleep, that was a good match.
The opener last night was fantastic. I had Orange versus Claudio. The women's tag match with the Kabuki Warriors going up against Lyra Valkyria and Bayley, I thought was fantastic
very good.
On Monday. I thought that
very
was the best match on Monday Night Raw.
Surprised that the ROH Women's Champion and Mercedes Moné lost that match.
Right?
I was very surprised. I was like, what? Whoa, what? Like, what happened there?
And the winner of that match was going to the final because the Sisters of Sin are not going to defeat, I believe, Willow and Harley Cameron at this point. So I have no idea who's going to win that tag team tournament.
It surprised me. I'm like, they went down that soon? I thought you had a story building there with those two being odd bedfellows.
Yeah.
But Willow and Cameron are winners. I was pleasantly surprised at that finish. I just was like,
yeah.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So that's it. So wait, a lot of product, but and by the way, just quick shout out to Jade Cargill. She pretty much throttled Tiffany Stratton. The whole
that was
story
the right
of her
call.
Knee. Yeah,
that,
but just
it
the way
like
it happened,
right
though.
Call. Yes.
Just the way it happened. Like the knee was the story, and the way she was flipping Tiffany around. I like where they're going with her heel run, and she wins the title. So pretty good.
Yeah, right call, and I thought the right way to do it. Make her look real dominant going into SmackDown tomorrow night. If you happen to miss any of this show or our interview with Ethan Page earlier today, make sure you check us out on our YouTube page, youtube.com/@goodkarmawrestling, where you can comment and subscribe. We're still, again, getting ready for Survivor Series. We'll react to Blood and Guts. We're getting ready for Full Gear. We'll talk about it all next week right here on GKW.